cycling isn't just cycling. It can be cycling or cycling or even cycling. Peloton isn't just one thing. We have classes that will ease you in and classes that'll make you sweat and a range of instructors so you can find your match. Whatever you're in the mood for, we can get you in the zone. See for yourself with a worry-free 30-day home trial. Visit onepeloton.com/home-trial. Terms apply.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news medias don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this November 1st, 2023. And tonight we have on the board, Eric is our producer. Hey, Eric.
Hey.
There you go. He said, hey, back. And tonight, folks, this program is being pre-recorded due to scheduling situations out here. And so we won't be able to take any phone calls tonight. But way out yonder, the Missouri legend. That's right, the Parson Joe Larson. Hey, Joe.
I don't know. I keep legend, I'm not sure. But anyway, I'm a truth-telling pastor ready to go to work and support God in a constitutional Christian republic.
Do you know that this radio program I looked at, went up on the internet to find out about what they were saying about us. And they actually said that this radio program was a folk hero program. Do you know that?
Oh. A folk what?
Folk hero.
Folk hero program. I've kind of heard that, but...
Yeah. And so, now that's folk hero.
We think of ourselves that way. We're just a couple people obeying the orders that we were given by our boss, and that was to be watchman on the wall.
Right. Now that's folk hero and not woke hero, right?
Right.
Okay, so now, listen, we got to get into it. We have a lot to cover tonight, and so we got to get right after it. So... The title of the message, do you remember what it was?
Greater Tories Then and Now.
Right. Okay, now we're going to pick it up where we left off over in Matthew chapter 10. And we'll pick it up in verse 32. So let's do a verse at a time, okay?
Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven.
Whosoever shall deny me before men... I also deny before my Father, which is in him. Now, there's a lot of ways of confessing the Lord Jesus Christ. We do that every program, don't we?
We do.
But now, there's ways of denying him, too, that seem a little bit more subtle. For example, I've often been going out to dinner or lunch or whatever, and I will notice that there are certain people, somebody might be asking a blessing. I'll be looking, there might be a family. And somebody would be asking a blessing on food, and others would be looking around to see if anyone's watching them. It's kind of like they're actually embarrassed.
Oh.
And I've seen that before. Now, also, I noticed, and I brought it to some people's attention, there was some groups of people that I would commonly, or occasionally, I should say occasionally, have lunch with. And, of course, they always ask me to ask a blessing. But then I realized that when I wasn't there to ask a blessing, nobody was asking a blessing.
Right.
Okay.
I've seen that happen, too. I know what you mean.
And so, anyhow, that's a way, that is a way of, Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me before the Father, so shall I be, what, ashamed of you, right?
Right.
Before men, okay, or if you're ashamed of me before men, I will be ashamed of you before the Father. Now, there's other times when people will make a mockery, say things, you know, a blasphemy of the Lord, and people remain silent. Is remaining silent when you should speak up? Isn't that a way of denying the Lord?
It sure is. You hear something, you should speak up and counter it with God's truth. He gives you the sword of the Lord, which is the word of God. That's what we're supposed to use.
All right. Read the next verse, 34.
Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword.
Wait a minute. Over in Luke, doesn't he tell you in Luke 12:14 that he is the Prince of Peace, that the angel and peace on earth and good tidings towards men? And here, in fact, that was the Lord Jesus himself prophesying his own birth, wasn't it?
Exactly.
And
but it's not as complicated as it sounds, because he came. He knew who would accept him, who would become his followers, who would become the children of God, the born-again believers, and who would not. And he knew that the world was going to hate him. They already hated him, and he knew that it was going to create more hate. And anyone who followed and believed in him and obeyed him would be hated also. So he said, I'm not coming to bring peace to the earth. I'm coming to bring peace and goodwill to all men who will accept me. And follow me, right?
So do you have peace in the Lord?
I have peace in the Lord. Amen.
Yeah, and I have peace in the Lord also, absolutely. Now, this is something that's called a paradoxical principle, Joe. Now, do you know what? There's next to obedience, Joe, this here is emphasized, this paradoxical principle, more than any other in the entire Bible. It says,
how do you say that again?
Paradoxical principle.
They're called. Okay. Yeah.
And you find that spoken of in Matthew 16, Mark 8:35, Luke 9:24, Luke 17:33, John 12:25, Romans 12:1-2, 2 Corinthians 5, you know, and it goes on and on. And so, that principle is spoken of over and over, that he has come, because he says this, for I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against the mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. What are some of the issues today that are really dividing the households? We live in a country today that is really divided.
Oh, terribly divided. It's destroying the nation. But it's destroying families. We people stupidly, very stupidly, send their children to a liberal college, with a Marxist institution, and let the devil educate their children. Their children grow up hating God, hating the country, and taking on the communist ideals and the hatred, especially the hatred toward the Jews. And we are not only separating families, we're separating the nation.
So with the Marxist indoctrination in the public education system, who do they proclaim that God is, the God of creation or the government?
The government is their God.
Okay, so we have seen, when you've sent these younger people today, and for 50 years, we've been on the radio here telling people, if you love your children, Get them out of the public school system. If you love your children, do not send them to public universities. Don't do that, and don't support them, okay, financially. Now, so they send them there. They get indoctrinated with cultural Marxism, and they trust the government. How did that affect the country where it came to the COVID death shots, what they call the vax?
Oh, it made the people obedient. They just went like sheep to the slaughter, and they walked in and said, give me the shots, give me the boosters, I'm going to do what the government tells me.
Well, some of the people here.
Some of the people.
This has caused...
The question was, how did the Marxist indoctrination made the people obedient to the state?
This has caused within the church that I pastor, a number of problems with the adult children. The adult children saying, look, to the grandchildren, the grandparents who were smart enough, the grandparents knowing, look, you know, knowing better than to get the poisonous poke and telling their adult children, don't do that. And instead of trusting their parents, who were much, much, much wiser than they went ahead and they trusted a very, very corrupt Dr. Fauci. And what happened in cases, we had several cases where the adult children told the grandparents, no contact with your grandchildren until you get the poisonous poke.
So many took the poke because they loved their grandchildren.
Well, not in our church, they didn't.
Well,
they,
some across the country did.
Oh, yeah, many across the country.
Didn't get to see the grandchildren.
Well, we did have, let me just say that, we did have one situation which turned out to be a terrible. You know, some of the poisonous pokes had resulted in people having complete, total changes in their personality. And we had cases where immediately, where you had a couple that had been married for many, many years, getting along great, the wife went out against her husband's, permission, took the poisonous poke, and her whole personality changed, turned into a person you wouldn't even know, okay? And ended up in divorce, and I mean a scorched earth divorce. And so, again, this has caused, that alone has caused a major split in a number of families.
Yeah.
And so, he goes on to say.
It continues to some families are still suffering from that breach and break, and it's been quite permanent, though some I've seen.
He goes on to say, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. What does that mean? We have to carry a cross? What does that mean?
It means we take up the cross of Christ. Was the idea that he went to the cross to die a substitutionary death for us. And the cross that we bear is the cross that we become his followers. We become children of him, and we will probably suffer for that.
So
that's our cross. We will suffer in this world because of our love for our Lord.
So Jesus says they're going to hate you because they hated me first, right?
Right.
And so, does the left hate us? Does the left out there hate us today?
Extremely, yes.
Okay, Rachel Maddow.
And everything else, yeah, we're quite aware of that.
Does Rachel Maddow hate us? Does the squat, do they hate us? When I wore my America Needs Jesus cap down through the halls of Congress, you ought to have seen the look that I got when they looked upon this, all of those, the squat, the communist, when they looked at that hat. It just, oh. And so here we go on, and he says, he that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it, okay? So here again, what do we got there? That's that paradoxical principle, isn't it?
Right, that's that same principle. We're losing our old life, our sinful earthly life, and becoming children of God, we take on a new life. We are trying to strengthen our spirit more than our physical life, and we become more spiritual creatures because our home is now in heaven, not on this earth. So we're dying to the old life, and we're being born again to a new everlasting life, and we are in a state of transition.
So it's the paradox of dying to self and living into God.
God, right.
Now, that's the very essence of what, a true, happy, fulfilling life?
Yes.
But in the world...
it's the opposite. The world is just the opposite.
So they're dying to Christ, to God, and living
right.
to themselves, huh?
Mm-hmm. And their pleasure principle is the main thing. You see it nowadays more than ever. It's, you know... happiness is more money, more sex, more, you know, likes on Facebook, everything. Do this, a bucket list of all the things we have to do to please ourselves. But you never see a bucket list or hear people talking about, this is my bucket list of servitude to God. No, you don't hear that.
What about verse 41? He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. Do we have prophets today?
Yes.
Okay. So do we have foretellers, or all the prophets today forthtellers?
Forthtellers.
Okay. So that means that according to God's word, the Bible, especially in Hebrews chapter 1, that we no longer are prophesizing anything other than what's already been recorded in the word of God, huh?
Exactly. We're not to add to it or subtract from it. In fact, when we mention this quite often when we have our fundraiser, our pledge week, that when you support a ministry, God's saying right here that when they receiveth, if you receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet, shall receive the reward. You support somebody that's doing God's work. He's going to bless you for it. You're going to receive the same blessing as the person doing it.
And then he says, and whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water, only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. And so here now, how does that stand up against this voting yes on issue one? If you vote yes on issue one, what are
you're
you in favor
to kill
of?
Kill babies, kill God's children. You're voting to bring all kinds of antichrist propositions and ideas to the state of Ohio. It's the direct opposite of this. We're to go out and help the sick, help the poor, help the weak, not harm, not do any harm.
So killing the people that are voting yes on issue one, they're voting for more unrestricted baby killing. They're voting to legalize prostitution. They're voting to legalize child prostitution. They're voting, when they vote one on issue one, to legalize pedophilia. They're voting to legalize mutilation of these children without parental permission. And they're voting to eliminate and outlaw parental consent, aren't they?
Exactly. And those are all things that are what? Antichrist.
So a good and decent person, a decent individual who would vote no on issue one. They would vote no on issue one. I've had a saying, you're either pro-life or you're low-life, and that's exactly the way I feel, okay? Would you
that's
agree?
Very true, because if you are pro-death, you are the opposite. You are the Antichrist. You're believing the Antichrist system over the Lord himself.
All right. Let's jump over to Matthew chapter 25.
All right.
In Matthew chapter 25, we're not going to get through this much of this tonight other than possibly reading it. Maybe we can pick it up there.
Or do a break, read a little, and stop.
Okay. In verse 31... let's go ahead and read verses 31 through 34.
Okay. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep upon his right hand, but the goats upon his left. Then shall the King of Glory say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.
All right, so now here, this is a judgment, okay?
Big time.
And so now, but what judgment is this? First of all, we know that it can't be the Bema Seat judgment. The Bema Seat judgment is for, it's about for Christians, for their reward, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So then again, we know that it can't be the White Throne judgment either, because these people are alive. At the White Throne judgment, they have all died. And the same at the Bema Seat judgment. Those are people that had already died and been resurrected for the judgment, right? So it's not the Bema Seat. It's not the White Throne. So it's a judgment that comes, would you say, right after the battle, the survivors, that these are the survivors of the Battle of Armageddon?
Of the end of the tribulation, yes.
Because both the goats and the sheep will still be alive. Now,
right. He will have those that during the tribulation became followers and believers, and those that were trying to kill and destroy, and he will separate them.
Well, how are you going to tell the difference between the goats and the sheep? The goats are going to have a particular mark on them, aren't they?
They're going to have the mark of the beast.
Yeah. For I was a hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me to drink. And I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we a hungered, or fed thee, or thirsty, or gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? And when saw we thee sick or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of my brethren, you have done it unto me. And so, then shall they say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick, and in a prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of these, the least of mine, you did it not unto me. And you folks out there on the left, pay close attention. This is God speaking. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto eternal life.
Amen. That's about as clear as you get. Jesus, the way we treat one another is the way we treat our Lord. It's pretty simple. He's saying he's looking down, and how we treat our fellow man is direct correlation to how we have treated him. And if we treat him well, we're blessed. If we do not treat him well, we are cursed.
Okay, so throughout the Bible, it refers to those on the right, to those on the left, okay?
Left. Right.
If we
right
go to Ecclesiastes 10:2, it says what? That a wise man will turn to his right.
Right. The fool will turn to his left.
A fool will turn to his left, okay? We see over when the Lord Jesus hung upon the cross, there was two thieves. What happened to the one on the right, and what happened to the one on the left?
The one on the right, Jesus said, Tonight you will be with me in paradise. And the other one didn't make it.
Okay, he denied, didn't he?
He denied, yes.
So today, now the passage we just read, you remember, when Obama was running for the first time, they had what you call the Matthew 25 coalition,
mm-hmm.
The religious left, and they came out.
We tried to explain that to people.
Oh, I did. What happened was when I saw it for the first.
No religious left.
Joan, when I saw it, the first commercial they ran, and when I saw it, I went on right away to explain, here's what they're telling you. First of all, they're mocking you. They figure you are so biblically illiterate, you'll have no idea what they're saying. Two, here, folks, they're telling you who they are. They're telling you they're those are the people that are destined for the lake of fire. And these are the same people today that are behind wanting you to vote yes on issue one. We're coming up to a break. How much time do I have there, Eric? Yeah, we're coming up to a break, Joe. And then when we come back from the break, we have a whole lot of things we want to get to. So, and I had the article, the first one, and I set it aside or something. Anyhow, I'll find it. Where did it go?
Right here.
Be right back after this.
I had this crazy dream about some folks who love this country, who all began to dream the same dream. And when the morning came, there arose across this nation people thinking one and the same. And they awoke to find their freedoms and all their liberties had gradually been taken away. And when they realized the danger to their posterity, I heard those patriotic people say, "We want this country back. Freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back. She's been driven way off track. We're wide awake and we're madder than hell now. And we ain't gonna take it anymore. No, we're not gonna take it anymore." Remember golden days when the stars stripes forever symbolized her glorious name, America. But now it's all been changed, and when we gaze upon old glory, it's hard to fight back feelings of shame. We're fed up with lying politicians and greedy corporations who have sold us out time and again. And we're sick and tired of sending our soldiers off to wars that we were never meant to win. We want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back. Right, and our victory's on the way, and we won't give up the fight till we hear 200 million say, "We want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back, and we ain't taking any more back. Awaken, we're madder than hell now, and we ain't gonna take it anymore. No, we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna take it anymore. We said we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna take it anymore. We said we're not gonna take it anymore.
Oh, we're not gonna take it anymore. You hear that, you Antichrist communists? We're fed up. We want this nation to be back to one nation under God with liberty and justice for all, just the way he gave it to us. We're tired of your corrupt, your completely and totally corrupt woke government out there. We've had it. We're fed up. The corruption is so unbelievable. We want something the way it used to be. We want some honor, some integrity, some decency back. What do you think, Joe?
Sounds like quite a wish list. It's possible. With God, all things are possible.
All right, very good. Here.
Which means we need to be a nation in prayer if we want that goal to be achieved.
Well, you know, the Bible says you have to pray without ceasing. That's tomorrow morning. That's what we're going to be at Doers of the Word Baptist Church at 14781 Sperry Road. Oh, well, yeah, I'm giving this message out. Yeah, it's going to go out over some of the stations. I know some are going to be preemptive for ball games. But tomorrow we will be out there, Lord's willing, at 14781 Sperry Road there in Newberry, Doers of the Word Church. At 9 o'clock in the morning, we'll be gathering to pray for this nation. This nation needs prayer in a big, big way, don't we?
No, we sure do.
Alrighty, so
I hope that every listener out there just does a daily prayer for the nation, for the state of Israel, and for God to bring this nation to repentance.
Absolutely.
Start a revival, a true revival.
All right, very good. Well, go ahead. We've got some articles, and I'll just let you lead off.
Okay, I mentioned the other day this idea that the left has found out that by controlling the legal system, primarily through the D.C. system, they can squelch the conservative agendas and viewpoints. They're using the court as a weapon. We've got judges afraid of losing careers, reputations, being harassed by protesters. Prosecutors are going after the brave attorneys who tried to assist President Trump. And we saw some very big names. Knowing the system, legal system is against them, and they would likely end up in jail over something they didn't do. Sidney Powell, Jenna Ellis, these attorneys, Kenneth Chesbrough, along with Scott Graham Hall, a bondsman, agreed to accept pleas in the politically motivated RICO prosecution by Fannie Willis there, the Fulton County District Attorney. And this system has been so corrupt that basically Rachel Alexander, writing World News Daily, said that there's conservatives can't get a fair jury trial anymore. And we saw this proof. The Democrat judge who handled the Dominion lawsuit against Fox News forced this billion-dollar settlement. Now, in the settlement, it resulted in jury instructions. During this trial, the judge came out and said that all statements made by attorneys, that was Sidney Powell, Rudy Giuliani, as well as any negative claims made on the network about Dominion were false. So in other words, he was saying, Dominion's totally right, Fox News and everybody out there, all these attorneys, all these people are totally wrong. They're lying. A judge cannot do that in a real legal system, in a constitutional republic. Now, so there's no way a jury could have found Fox News not guilty based on what the judge said. Everything here they're presenting is a lie. Its negative claims are false. So he's saying everybody lied. Now, we start with that premise, and today there's breaking news out there about Fannie Willis. The Georgia prosecutor is trying to jail Donald Trump and dozens of others for the, quote, thought crime of raising questions about the 2020 presidential election. And she's now facing charges that she has not only created just a constitutional crisis, but a full-blown constitutional collapse in the case. Wow, this is big news. It's a report at the Federalist. And the Federalist has published this. It outlines these allegations against Willis were made by a legal team supporting Jeffrey Clark, a Trump-era Department of Justice official. And they're claiming she's using the state's organized crime law to threaten defendants with a four-month-long trial that could send most of them into bankruptcy if they don't plead guilty. We're just going to keep putting you in court and charging you. You're going to have to keep paying attorney fees. We're going to bankrupt you unless you plead guilty, which several have already done. I just talked about the ones that did. Sidney Powell and others have already pleaded guilty to misdemeanors. Notice, pleaded guilty to misdemeanors. The charge that they were under, that they were facing, not one of them has accepted that. So they filed, this legal team has filed now a 39-page special plea in Fulton County Superior Court, demanding Willis dismiss her massive and grotesque abuse of prosecutorial power. The indictment against Clark over his First Amendment right to question an election, and one due to her lack of personal jurisdiction. There is zero allegation or evidence that Mr. Clark directed any purposeful activity in the state of Georgia. The inquiry should stop right there. But oh no, it gets worse. There are zero specific allegations or evidence that Mr. Clark agreed with any resident defendant to do anything. You know, this attorney general and this, you know, running around screaming does not meet the threshold of due process requirements for establishing personal jurisdiction. You know, just because they yell and scream and threaten is not a legal case, Pastor. So these lawyers are accusing Willis, whose agenda, of course, is to get Trump, of, quote, trying to punish a thought crime with the full penal and coercive power of the state, which is unconstitutional. They wrote, here we have, this district attorney seeks to imprison the leading presidential candidate of her opposing political party to the acclaim of those baned for his destruction. And she has dragged all of us, not just into the outskirts of dangerous constitutional territory, but into the maelstrom of a full-blown constitutional collapse. These people are coming out with guns loaded. And they said, look, Clark's association with Trump, who nominated him for several posts during his term, was made one of these 19 co-conspirator targets of Willis. Now, basically, they said their premise, Willis's premise, is the election of Biden was free of any material irregularity, that any thought, expression, or conduct of the defendants to the contrary was necessarily wrong or criminal, and thus constitute a massive Georgia RICO conspiracy. Yeah, think about that, folks. Disagreeing with the outcome of the election, every one of those people are not only wrong, but thinking that the election was crooked was criminal and constitute a RICO case filing. But remember, hey, the evidence out there, the $400+ million, the Zuckerbucks handed out through all these foundations to recruit voters from the Democrat Party, they helped Biden win the election. Never has any American election ever had that kind of outside financial influence.
What about 300,000 phony ballots driven in on a semi-truck?
Well, they were never allowed in court, but this we know was allowed. Then the FBI, you know, suppressed any reporting about the Hunter Biden laptop, and then which hid the Hunter Biden family scandals. And that, well, the news came out that enough people said, well, if we knew that, enough voters would have dropped their support for Joe Biden, which would have put Donald Trump in his second term in office. So here is the really sick part of this. They're claiming that this guy, he drafted a letter. Clark drafted a letter to the Georgia officials that claimed the Department of Justice had identified significant concerns that may have impacted. Notice the words. May have impacted the outcome of the election in multiple states, including Georgia. That word may, he didn't say positively, you know, 100%, I guarantee. No, may have. We need to look into this. It's a may thing. But the secret is he never sent the darn letter. His superiors claimed the civil division should play no role in the election issues, so they told him not to send it. So he never sent the letter. So they're charging him for influencing election with a letter that he never sent, that nobody ever read, nobody ever saw, nobody ever used, and for just writing a letter that was never sent, they are charging him with a RICO statute and facing years and years in prison. Talk about This, I've never in my life, Pastor, heard anything so absurd, so stupid, and his lawyers are coming out, I mean, with all guns blazing.
Here, I'll give you something so absurd, so stupid, okay? You have there in New York, you've got this crooked judge, this Judge Arthur Engeren, who came out before there was a trial, before there was a hearing, and proclaimed that Trump was guilty before there was any hearing, okay?
Well, that's what Fannie Willis did, the same thing.
She well, see, Fannie Willis was a prosecutor.
Yeah.
This
is a judge, yeah.
This is a judge. And, see, you have not, see, the prosecutors will often make all kinds of false claims. They're pretty much, you know, nowadays, I mean, they lie like rugs. I mean, they really lie today. And they do it, you know, without suffering to being brought to justice for doing it, for lying. They're lying, you know, it's just unreal. But anyhow, but this judge announces the verdict of the hearing before there is a trial. Okay, now this one, and also the one there in New York, Chunkin, or whatever her name is,
yeah.
She did the same thing. She had come out and said he's guilty long before there was any kind of a hearing or trial. Okay, so anytime that happens, you see, if there's even the smallest amount of decency, even the littlest teeny-weeny bit of integrity or honor, they would have recused themselves. But there was no honor, no integrity.
I have not seen a leftist judge recused himself for anything lately in the past several years on any of this stuff.
Because they're entirely, in order to be a leftist today, you've got to be entirely without any morals, without any values.
Exactly.
And so virtually.
I've seen so many judges recuse themselves for just the slightest appearance of impropriety. The left, no, they don't care. I can separate myself and give a judicial ruling, a fair ruling, as long as it's my opinion.
The ends justify the means. In other words, whatever it takes to win, lying, stealing, killing, whatever, it's justified to the left. This is right out of Karl Marx's playbook.
Yeah. Well, and we notice here former Attorney General Ed Meese came out and did an affidavit that the opinions involved in the actions after the 2020 election fit squarely within the privilege discussed as recognized by presidents, by the Congress, and various courts throughout the history of the United States. It also fits squarely within the protections of the opinion clause of the Constitution and the charges, as Willis is moving us away from a democracy or a republic, which the U.S. actually is. We keep hearing, you know, Trump is destroying the democracy. Well, we've never had a democracy. The left uses words as a weapon of war, and they keep saying it over and over and over, we're a democracy. No, we aren't. We're a constitutional republic. A republic is a rule of law, laws that do not change. Our founders said our constitutional republic was based on God's Ten Commandments. Those are laws, God's laws, and the teaching of the New Testament, which is, of course, the gospel, the law of God. And this is set up inside this republic. We have a democratic system of electing people to serve for us, but it's within the confines of the republic. There is a democratic process. We are not a democracy. Totally different creature. It's like saying that a mammal is a fish or a fish is a mammal. No, they're two different things. They may both swim in water, but a polar bear and a fish are not the same, you know.
All righty. We've got to move on here. Disgusting, dirty leftist. This is an article from the Gateway Pundit, by the way. Dirty leftist attorneys play video of Trump on January 6th to open Colorado case to remove Trump from ballot. They refused to play his words encouraging supporters to be peaceful. look.
Yeah. No proof. Remember that they're not allowing any proof in these courts, like they did in the election. Remember, the judges made rulings without ever looking at Sidney Powell's evidence, without looking at the stuff that was presented. No court actually ever looked at any of the election fraud evidence.
So this is right out of Karl Marx's playbook. When they say you have to be militant, those that are willing to break the law, those that are willing to break the law for the cause of communism, they need to be within the party. They need to be elevated within the collective. And that's what these very, very completely and totally corrupt judges are doing, isn't it?
Exactly. This whole thing, we've talked before, what's going on is a battle, a spiritual battle underneath. This is good versus evil. This is the Antichrist system against Christ and his kingdom. And it is far more than just a political battle. This is a communist takeover of the United States. This is how all these countries that have gone communist before, you are actually not reading history. You are living through a revolution. And the left is creating a socialist communist revolution in America. And most people, most citizens have not woken up to the fact we're in the middle of it. It's happening to us right now. And unless the people wake up and understand what's happening, the revolution just might succeed.
Well, you know, we have to, whether there's, you might say there's two revolutions going on at one time in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And so, well, and I right now, it really appears that we're heading towards a civil war. You know, those of us that have understood freedom, we know that freedom comes at a great price. We're not willing to give it up, are we?
No, it's very precious. Who was it? Said it was a precious gem. One of the great founding fathers. I'll think of it in a minute. Patrick Henry. It was a precious gem. We should let no one near it. No one near our freedom. Let no one touch it, change it, be anywhere even near it, is what he said.
All right, blatant abuse of power. DOJ officials spied on congressional watchdogs Cash Patel and Jason Foster during their investigation of Crossfire Hurricane, the phony Russia probe. I mean, absolutely corrupt. Again, Department of Justice is absolutely corrupt. We mentioned this last night. I had called when John McTurner and I were having our battle with the War College and the Pentagon over Christians being eligible for the military. What happened was I had called and I had talked to the Department of Justice, and I talked to a couple of different attorneys, and they had something like 19,000. It's an outrageous number of attorneys there. I mean, that's just attorneys. Then they have all these other people. I think there's over 100,000 people work there. And so
you're talking about a bloated bureaucracy, right?
Hugely bloated, hugely, yeah. And so I asked them if they were aware of any Christians. Do you have any knowledge of any Christians at all, even one Christian working there? And so he said, look, give me a few minutes and I'll get back with you. And just stay there. And so about 10 minutes later, they came back and said, well, we've asked a number of attorneys all the way down the line, and we're not aware of any Christians at all, not one Christian here at all. There you go. That's what we have at the Department of Justice.
Yep.
Do you know that 95% of all federal workers vote Democrats?
Yep. That tells you something right there. It's kind of like the District of Columbia. That's why nobody can ever get a fair trial there anywhere near it, because it votes almost completely Democrat and they stack the juries. But do you remember we talked a long time ago about Cloward Piven, the theory of overloading the system until it breaks down and that would foment in a revolution?
Yeah, we mentioned that years and years and years ago.
Well, it's coming true. Did you know that right now we're in debt $33 trillion? 50% of that debt is coming due within the next few years, two to five years, half of our national debt comes due. That's kind of scary. Half of that $33 trillion, that's 16-something trillion dollars. But here is, folks, here's what's happening. This is really bad. We have this huge debt, and the Biden administration keeps raising the debt, although we have borrowed since the 1st of October. The Treasury had to borrow $500 billion in the first 3 weeks of October. $500 billion had to be borrowed. Now, as the federal debt and the interest rates rise, the cost of servicing the debt explodes. Now, right now, the interest payments surpass all our military spending by $103 billion. But does that bother Biden and his administration? No, they're doubling down. They're spending more and more. Now, here is the secret, the icing on the cake. The Treasury doesn't pay off debt when the debt matures right now. The U.S. Treasury has no money. They can't pay off the debt when the debt matures, like those government T-bills and bonds, right? So a T-bill comes due, so the Treasury has to issue a new debt and issue a new T-bill to pay off the old bond, the old T-bond, along with higher interest. So trillions of dollars in our existing debt at these low old interest rates of 1.5% are going to roll over into rates that are many times higher, which won't reduce the debt at all, but increase the interest that we're paying on the debt. So we're taking this huge debt. We have no money. They've spent so much out of the budget. They've spent $6.5-7 trillion.
Well, here's the thing, Joe. Here's the thing. Okay. You say, I didn't borrow any money. I don't owe any debt. Now, the people, the federal workers, the ones in Congress that borrowed the money. So it's Congress that owes the debt. Now, that's... I'm sure of that. I'm sure that I didn't borrow any and that I don't owe any.
The people, it's the taxes. And did you know right now the tax revenue, because of what Biden's done, is way down? The tax receipts are way low. They were surprised because they didn't bring as much tax money. Why? Biden increased government regulations, new rules, regulations, and so the tax revenue fell by a huge amount. So now we have even more debt. Here's the scary thing. Since Biden took office, the typical American family has lost $7,300 in income. The monthly mortgage payment of an average price home has more than doubled. It will cost you 25% to 50% more to heat your home. Americans have over $1 trillion in credit card debt. They've extended their credit out. And the family budgets are going to just Hades in a basket because the Treasury, we're running out of time. This just keeps building, and within a couple of years, if this interest stays this high in the debt, they keep refinancing all this debt that's coming due in 2 years. Think about it. $16, $17 trillion will have to be refinanced from low interest rates to what? The current rate, those bonds are 5, 6% on T-bills right now. That's scary, folks. It should scare you. If it doesn't, you've had your head in the sand. You better wake up because your children and grandchildren are going to be just buried.
Well,
it's
you know what?
The nicest thing I can think of.
You know, well, maybe it's time for a year of jubilee, huh? We're coming up to a break. And when we come back, we're going to hear from, well, I'll tell you about it when we come back from the break. So hang in there. We're going to be breaking here right about now. So just hang in. Got a lot more to come. Don't go away.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company. Like super woke.
When I grow up, I want to be hired based on what I look like.
Rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder.
Just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.